GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show, and George continues his vacation in Florida. Our guest co-host Miles Thieman behind the bulletproof glass and spacious Studio 7A. Miles, thank you again for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
On the PDQ Door telephone line, we check in with the spin doctors. Miles, who is the Democratic operative who lends his time to our program each Tuesday morning?
Good morning, John Wadsworth. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
And the Republican with ties to Wynn, Maine, who might that be, Miles?
That would be Brent Littlefield, and good morning to you, Brent.
Good morning. You know that bumper music you got where you say the politicians that affect your lives, has it ever been more of a case than today?
John, want to pivot to you for the start of our conversation. How are you and your family doing in light of COVID-19, and what changes are going on in your life, John?
Well, we're pretty much hunkered down. The kids are out of school. Our family is working from home, and the folks that we work for, we are working with at a distance with the people on Capitol Hill to find some solutions to what everybody is facing in this new reality.
And Brent, how are you and your family dealing with COVID-19?
Same. I thought it was quite an image yesterday when I came out of a phone conversation I was having to see my wife surrounded by papers on an important conference call and my daughter sort of dancing in front of her, playing with a board game at the same time. So that's the new reality.
John, I don't know if you saw this. There was a headline in the New York Times yesterday. Two emergency room doctors are in critical condition with coronavirus. It relates to a Seattle hospital. Oh, I'm sorry. One in New Jersey and one in Washington State. I guess everybody's vulnerable.
Very much so. And those healthcare workers who are putting themselves on the line to help our fellow Americans in our country, you know, they don't get a lot of credit. And the continued exposure and the fatigue that they're going to be facing as they work is a very real thing. And if you're a nurse or a doctor or working in a hospital out there, I hope you know how much this country needs you and thanks you.
Yeah, and Brent, the other comment in the article from the chairman of the American College of Emergency Physicians, a lot of us think that despite everything we do, we'll probably be exposed. That's a pretty sobering comment.
Well, it is, and that's why you're seeing what we're seeing now, and why you keep hearing the discussion about flattening the curve, is that, you know, our hospitals and everything from ambulances and everything else are kind of built up to the stage that they're needed. You know, we don't want to have the cost or the trouble of having, you know, huge facilities that aren't being used. So, you know, our infrastructure is built for what we expect in a day-to-day normal life situation. And when you have, you know, potentially huge numbers of people getting sick all at once, it could really be absolutely catastrophic. And so that's what our government and literally governments all over the world, of all types of governments, liberal governments, conservative governments, in-between governments, are all trying to do, is they're trying to slow down the spread to make sure the less people get sick and that those that do get sick actually can get the care that they need.
We're talking with the spin doctors. That's Brent Littlefield, John Wadsworth with us. John, to you, what do you make of in this past week how Washington, how the Trump administration, how Congress has responded to the crisis created by COVID-19?
Well, I think it's a mirror of what our country is going through. You've seen the restrictions for Capitol Hill get more and more stringent. More and more people are released. You know, there's no one walking around, and the severity, I think, has really set in on everyone. If you saw the White House press conference yesterday, you noticed it was a very different tone from what we had seen as early as the day before. I think the reality of what we're facing and what this is going to be is now hit. You know, this is not a plague where when you get it, you're in extreme danger. What we are in danger of is spreading it to the vulnerable. And spreading it to those, who have older or compromised immune systems. And that's the reality. This is going to be an invisible enemy, and we all have to do our part.
And Brent, to you, what are you seeing from the Trump administration and Congress in reacting to COVID-19?
Yeah, the same thing. I think that it takes a while, especially for people. If you're in government, especially in the middle of a congressional session or, in this case, an election campaign, you're so consumed by what's going on. I mean, it's the type of job that's a 24/7 job, and you're so consumed by it, it's hard to sometimes see the bigger picture. And because you're just going about all the other crises that you're dealing with on an hour-by-hour basis. And then this hits, and you're like, whoa, you have to just kind of step back and say, you know, this is different. And I think that we're seeing that that realization come across not only our federal government but our state governments. I was dealing with an elected official in a state, totally different state, and we were having this conversation earlier this week where they were talking about what was happening in their state legislature, and I said, listen, you know, you need to be thinking about, I'm sure your legislature is thinking about having to shut down. They said, no, I just met with the state Senate president today. There's no discussion of that. In fact, they said they're going to press ahead. There's too many important issues to deal with. I said, well, I doubt that that's going to be the case. And literally 24 hours later, they were announcing they were shutting down. You know, this is what we're dealing with now. It's a totally different world. And, you know, as someone, in my case, I spent quite a bit of time working with the Federation of Independent Businesses, which is the Small Business Association in the United States. I used to be a political director for them nationwide. And I'm dramatically concerned for the small businesses in this country that are going to be adversely affected by this, because people might may have an assumption that there's huge profits there, but in a lot of cases, these small businesses have a very narrow amount of profit. They do okay. The owner or owners make enough to feed their families, maybe. It's very disconcerting to what's going to happen to them, and then that sort of spreads to the rest of our economy over time. So this is a very serious issue.
In an earlier segment today, Rick and I talked about the inconsistency within the state of Maine in terms of how municipalities are handling this. I think we're seeing that obviously on the national scene too. Ohio canceled its primary, but others are ongoing today.
Yeah, I mean, that is sort of indicative of the confusion that we are facing now. You know, I have to give Governor DeWine a lot of credit. He came out and pulled the trigger on a lot of very hard decisions as soon as it became clear. Their schools closed. They have canceled everything. You know, this is the model that they're going to be facing. I understand the desire to want to go on. Our democratic process is sacrosanct to who we are. I think, you know, the best thing we can do is if you do have a primary, then exercise, and you're going to vote, then please exercise the utmost caution. Give yourself that 6 feet of space around people. Be patient. Take your time. And if you do not have a primary, if you don't have to leave the house, stay home. Not just for yourself, but for those folks who can't afford to stay home, whether they be garbage collection, police officers, firemen, allow them the space to do what they need to do. Not all of us can work from home. Not all of us have that ability. So they are going to, for those who have to be out there, let's give them the space to do their job so that we can keep this thing going, this country that we love going, and we will get through this together.
John, as Miles even tosses to Brent, could we ask you to pivot your phone so it's closer to your mouth? You're becoming very muffled. We want to be able to very clearly hear what you say. And Brent, to you, the same question.
Yeah, Brent, is the inconsistency around the country a good thing?
Well, you know, I have concerns, quite frankly, about the discussion on that from a couple different levels. One, very seriously, is a philosophical level. And you know, I'm as the phrase is used, I'm a strict constructionist. I believe that we interpret the Constitution the way it's written, and we've got a case where, you know, we have a structure in our country that is purposely decentralized. You know, we are designed that way on purpose to supposedly provide more freedom to the American people, that the best decisions are made at the local level where people can see what's happening on the ground. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that play out, especially when you've got the governor of New York and the president going back and forth, because the president's saying, you know, I don't want to tell. He said it yesterday. I don't want to tell, you know, some of these governors what to do. I can say what our best experts are saying we should do, but I don't want to tell them that they have to do it. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that philosophical push and pull going back and forth there. And then the second level is, too, is that, you know, look, these are all human beings. And I don't care in this particular crisis, when it comes to decisions of what to open and what to close and these kinds of things, I really don't want to second guess or judge an elected official, even a local mayor, regardless of their political party in this. Because, you know, we are all humans. We have to do the best job we possibly can do. We have to make the best decisions we possibly can make. And these are unusual times. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were both remarking that in most things in life, you can talk to an older person, and they'll say, you know, whatever, young whippersnapper, I remember back in the day when such and such happened, and this is what we did. This is not one of those cases. We can't talk to somebody in most cases that says, I remember back in the day when, because the last time we faced something this sweeping or this impactful likely was way back in, I guess, in 1918. There aren't a huge number of people you can sit around and say, this is what happened back in 1918. So we have to do the best job we can in this very unique world. And we're in a world that's connected by the Internet where we get a lot more information. It travels much faster. We have to do the best we can to let people, you know, make the best decisions they can and give them the space to do that.
Spin Doctors on GHRT. John Wadsworth, back to you. We're still watching what is happening with primaries and the campaign between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. What are you seeing as some of the significant headlines of the campaign of the last week?
Well, it really has taken a backseat to what's going on. I wonder how many people are really focused on this campaign. The campaigns, to their credit, have really pulled out of the field, if you will, their public events, the door knocking, the things that put them out there. The campaigns have really taken on a distance digital framework, and I think that's going to be the nature of these campaigns for some time. We don't know when we will be returning to some normal standard of life, and it's almost like it froze. Now, I think there was certainly a feeling of inevitability towards former Vice President Biden. If this delays the Bernie Sanders campaign, then it delays it. But even watching the debate, I sort of got that feeling. And through their performances, I think they've assumed those roles. I think Senator Sanders is out there, you know, espousing his issues and his platform. But understanding where in this campaign the reality lies.
And to you, Brent Littlefield, what's going on between Sanders and Biden?
You know, I think in a strange way, this has given the Sanders folks a chance to breathe a little bit and to look at what the reality is. And it's a sobering moment for the country and for the entire world. And as a result, I think it's, calmed down. People use that phrase, the Bernie bros. It's calmed down those people around the Sanders campaign that were in fever pitch campaign mode and were probably not wanting to be told that it was over. And I think that it gives them a chance for more than to realize probably it is likely over based on the math. Now, it's not over till it's over when you run all the numbers, but if you take the delegate counts, if you take the states that are coming up, and if you take the fact that, you know, Biden has picked up all these endorsements and that a lot of the pledged delegates to someone like a Buttigieg, if their state rules allow it, at some point, whether it's in the first ballot or the second ballot, would likely go to Biden. I think that, the writing's on the wall for the Sanders campaign, and I think there's a realization on that. And it's going to be very, very hard to push Joe Biden in one direction or the other to try to get any leverage at this point, because the best leverage you can get when you're coming from behind is landing a punch in the media, and the media is just not going to pay any attention to that right now. We have to remember that not only is the news going to cover whatever is happening in the day that's the biggest story, but on top of that, all these reporters are going through this themselves. Their own kids are out of school. They're having to social distance. So you're not going to get them to focus on some punch that Bernie Sanders is trying to land.
On a lighter note, did you see Colbert's audience-less show?
I didn't, actually. I saw John Oliver do his remote location with a no audience and a skeleton crew. I've seen clips of the Colbert. And it was just sort of like, okay, everybody, we'll see you when you get back. There was a
right
a feeling of hitting a timeout.
Yeah. And Brent, did you see Colbert's audience-less show? There are some that say that it really fell flat and it was telling.
I don't want to shock everybody listening to this program right now, but I don't watch Colbert, and I don't watch him on purpose.
Anybody shocked? GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.